G'day, everyone. Welcome to our inaugural Queensland Catch podcast. I'm Eric Perez, the CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, and today our inaugural podcast participants are Kath and Tom Long from Carramine. How are you?
We're very well, thanks, Eric. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I can't wait for this particular podcast because we've been planning this for a little while, and so there's going to be talk about seafood, which is good, recipes, and as well talking about the consumer and how you guys interact with the consumer. So I want to do the least amount of talking as I can on this podcast. So I'm going to ask you the first question is to introduce yourselves to our audience and then to have a chat with me about your local seafood consumer and if you think they're hesitant to speak to you or not about the seafood that they buy. So I might start by asking, can you introduce yourselves to the podcast audience?
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Yes, I'm Tom Long, so a fisherman processor with a passion for the industry and open-eyed to the future, positive, looking forward to the challenges that may present themselves and supplying a premium product to the market. So that's, I guess, our aim.
Yeah, and I'm Kath, I'm Tom's wife. I've been more closely involved in the business for the last 4 or 5 years since we've just started direct marketing. Tom is the fisherman, he goes out there, he does all the work, and I get to do the nice stuff like the marketing and work in the shop and meet all the people. So, yeah, it's a nice little business.
Excellent. So one question then, particularly around the retail side of things, is do you find people are hesitant to ask you about the seafood they buy, how to cook it, how to store it, that kind of thing?
They definitely ask. I wouldn't say they're hesitant. I think when people come to our little shop, it's such a unique experience. It's a modified house which operates as a shop and an office, and we've got our processing facility in the same on the same block of land, basically. So, you know, people walk down the driveway, they walk past the tractor that pulls the boat, they come into the shop. There's a boat which has been modified, which is on the set of a relatively famous movie, which I've got full of books, so there's a bit of a book exchange happening, and then generally it's a one-on-one experience. So I introduce myself to the customers, I ask where they're from, they're generally tourists. We talk about the fish that we do, we talk a lot about how we catch the fish, how we look after the fish through the processing process and into the shop. And then, you know, I have the luxury of being able to take people out through into our processing room, explain everything what we do and why we do it. And people are very, very interested when I talk about things like ikijimi and dry filleting and cryovacking. They genuinely want to know. And then always, like if there's kids, you know, they want to climb up on the boat and have a bit of a play. So, I think people that come to our little shop do ask questions, and I think they, well, judging from the comments in our guest book, they really enjoy their little visit to the Tomcat Lionfish shop. So,
Yeah, it tells a full, complete story, really. So anybody that comes here has a look. They see the boat, they see the processing, they see the shop. There's some historical photos and different things. So they get a full picture of our business in operation. And as an example, we had a Chinese family from Sydney. It was a bit over a year ago. And they were up here on holidays. They had three children. And when they purchased some fish, they were interested in the processing room. They climbed up on the boat, gave them a rundown. A year later, when they were in Sydney, they heard something about seafood on the radio. And their visit meant that much that they called me on the phone just to say, what a highlight it was that previous year, just to, have a look at what we do. And that's really nice. It makes what we do worthwhile.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, so that's a really good connection to an international consumer. So, do you guys have a social media presence to interact with your customers, or is it just the shop front?
We have, like everybody, we've got our Facebook page, which I probably post on less than just about any business in Australia. There is also the website, which has been updated relatively recently. I think most people find us by word of mouth. I think we are such a unique business, and people even within the demographics of the Cassowary Coast, we're sort of halfway, I guess, between Cairns and Townsville. So people that are coming to the area, they'll Google fresh fish or fresh seafood or seafood retailers. And I'm pretty lucky in that we do come up pretty high on that Google search. But we've had plenty of customers who, they might be staying at Mission Beach or Innisfail or Cowley, all of which are like a 30 to 40 minute drive away, and they will actually drive past other seafood outlets to come and get their fish from us. And that's because they've been recommended maybe by the person that owns the caravan park, or they've met someone, you know, at the caravan park stopover 3 hours down the road kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we do have quite, you know, I guess we do have quite a few sales where people are going back home and they come in before they fly out and load up with fillets to take back, which is pretty nice. So, you know, we're only small volumes, but we do that high quality. People appreciate they're going back, they take it with them.
And that's excellent. So I wasn't asking a question about you should necessarily do more social media. It's just of interest, because nowadays if you're going to hit different demographics, it seems like you must have a social media presence. And it's interesting to hear that it's your business is driven by word of mouth, which is great.
Our shop sales are only one aspect. We also market direct to restaurants, so we have a couple of restaurants in Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, where we've built up and developed that relationship with the chefs. So a lot of the chefs, it's great dealing with the chefs because they are really keen in trying some of the lesser known species, or, you know, and working with the entire fish. So they're not, you know, they're very environmentally sustainable individuals, and, you know, which goes really nicely with our own philosophy and ethos. And we're also fortunate enough that our local IGA, which happens to be in Tully, which is also on the Cassowary Coast, we have our own little designated area within that shop, and proudly hanging above there is the Queensland Catch banner. So we
thank you for that. And for the listeners, the IGA chain is an independent grocers chain that competes with the established supermarket chains, for those that might be listening to this that aren't in Queensland or aren't in Australia. So, yeah, that's great. So can I ask then, part of talking to you today is also about talking about cooking with fish in particular on this podcast. And we've settled on pan-fried snapper fillets as the recipe. So can I ask you to go through it and give us a bit of a sense of what you need and the method to cook it up? And I'll make this available to people on the site and through Queensland Catch. But can you run us through why you like the recipe and how you go about cooking it?
I guess the starting point for any recipe is the ingredient. So you make sure you get the good ingredient to start with. Now, that could be, for us, we specialize in frozen product, so which is, you know, a sometimes difficult product to move because of the perception of frozen versus allegedly fresh. But I think you start with a good product first, nice fillet of fish, and then do it simply.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you were going to take that one. Yeah. look, absolutely. What Tom's saying is right. If you have fish which has been looked after from the moment it's been caught, it's been dispatched humanely, it's been properly chilled, properly processed, and, you know, really it doesn't come down to is it chilled, is it thawed, is it frozen. If it's been looked after, it's going to be easy to cook. And our principle is, you know, keep it simple. So we take a nice fillet of a delicate fish, perhaps like gold band snapper, rosy snapper, maybe even coral trout, red emperor, nicely filleted. We make sure all the pin bones are out, and then just gently heat some butter over a medium flame. Once the butter, you know, is just starting to bubble, place the fish skin side down, what would be skin side down if it still had the skin on, and then just let that sizzle away till it's about 60% cooked through. And you'll know that when it's ready to turn, because you start to see the outside of the fish turn from being translucent to white. That's when you very carefully need to get a spatula underneath the fillet and gently turn it over to seal in the flavour on the other side, and that'll give you a really nice golden crispy texture to the top of the fish while you've got that sweet succulent juiciness inside. Now, if you turn it back over, many people say to me the biggest thing, how do I know when my fish is cooked? Well, we talk about the fork test. So if you get a fork and you insert that into the thickest part of the fillet, the fork should just be able to go in and then come out, and there should be no resistance at all. And then people say to me sometimes, but how do I know what no resistance feels like? And I say, well, like if you're really, really worried about it, get the fork and touch the top of the fillet before you start even trying to cook it. So then you know what the resistance feels like. So then once you've cooked it properly, then the fork will go in, take it out, put it on the pan. Now, seriously, for us, all it is then is a tiny little bit of salt and some fresh lemon juice. But look, if you're doing it for a special occasion, maybe it's your wife's birthday, you can make a really nice lemon butter sauce. And I didn't add the lemon butter sauce recipe, but there are absolutely hundreds of really simple sauces on the internet as well. And look, we cooked up one just last Sunday for our lunch, and it was seriously magnificent.
Okay, now I'll make sure to look up our lemon butter sauce to add to that. Well, that's great. For those listening, I'm sure you want to get a piece of fish right now. That's great. So can I ask then, moving into a couple of the most commonly asked questions when you're dealing with seafood consumers, I'll go with the first question here, and that's if they ask, do you sell fresh fish? Now, what do you typically respond to that kind of a question?
That it is definitely one of the most common questions people ask, and I do think it comes from the misconception that fresh fish is the best fish. So I tend to go into my educator mode, so I apologise to the listeners for that. But basically, the product which is generally retailed and marketed as fresh fish is technically chilled fish, which could be fresh fish. It could be fresh off the boat, never frozen, and it's, you know, come to you within 4 days of being caught. And if that's what your fishmonger's got, then, you know, lucky, lucky you. Most commonly, it is actually thawed fish. So it's fish which has actually been frozen and then has been thawed. So the correct terminology really would be chilled fish. So when we talk about frozen fish, we talk about fresh frozen fish. So if you've got fish, whether it's whole or fillets, and it's been looked after and it's been blast frozen or quick frozen, and then looked after properly, so long as you defrost that fish correctly, it is going to be equally as pleasant on the palate as any fresh fish, which is genuinely fresh fish from a good fishmonger.
Okay, so is there, and here's me demonstrating my ignorance, so if I bought a frozen fillet of whatever, what's the process to thaw out that piece of fish so you maintain the integrity of that piece of fish?
Well, there's probably a couple of things, but it's good to defrost in the fridge. You know, so if you've got the luxury of time, you know, you pull the fish out of your freezer and you put it in your fridge so before you go to work, so that it's had, you know, that it's been in a cold environment while it goes through its, you know, defrost cycle. And then you cook it. Short of that, if you don't have the time and you want fish for dinner and you come home, you pull it out, you put it in some cold water and let it defrost in the cold water. That way it'll not running water, just to fill up a bowl, sink, etc. If it's in a vacuum bag, you know, all the better. So the thing that you'll find that's probably most noticeable is if you've had a frozen product, like if you had one of our fillets and you drop it in a pan to cook it, there'll be no moisture come out of the fish fillet while it's being cooked. Like there's no juice running out of the fish. The fish is firm and intact and sits there and cooks beautifully. If you've got your frozen product and you put it in a pan to fry it just simply with butter and you see a lot of moisture coming out of the fish while you're cooking it, that's a fish that's possibly been slow frozen, been frozen, thawed, refrozen, etc. So that would be an indication of a low-grade fillet of fish. So no matter how you cook it, it's going to be a more disappointing experience than if you had a premium product to start with.
Oh, okay, so that's what you're looking for. That's great. So, okay, here's question number two then. And you started on this before with the recipe, but in general, how do I cook my fish? So is there a simple rule of thumb for all fish, or would you say for some fish there's different methodologies? Like, is there a rule of thumb there when you're cooking fish?
I think the most important thing is to keep in mind that fish has a very, very low fat content. So it has a slower cooking time than a lot of other foods, and you really don't want to overcook fish. So it can't be certain, well, unless you're having exact raw fish. Once you start cooking fish, you do need to make sure that it's fully cooked so that the flesh is white, not translucent, but avoid overcooking. And I guess that does come back to the fork test. And, you know, the other thing is just, I think, respect the fish. Good fish doesn't need a whole host of other ingredients. Let the fish be the hero of the dish. So, you know, if you've got a whole fish and you're going to bake it in the oven, beautiful. Just put some nice aromatic herbs and spices, some garlic, a bit of salt, a bit of lemon, cover it in alfoil and let it bake at a reasonable pace. The other thing, though, always remember with fish, if you are cooking it whole, obviously the shoulder part of the fish is going to take longer to cook. So protect the tail part with some alfoil so that it doesn't overcook while the other part of your fish is becoming delicate and sweet and beautiful.
Okay, great. And finally, and here is probably a loaded question, but which fish is best?
Okay. So if you're going to fry, if you're going to do a shallow fry with some butter or whatever, then some fish are beautiful for that. So, you know, you've got your coral trout or your red emperor or your saddle tail. You know, those ones are lovely. You know, a small spangled emperor might be lovely that way too. If it's a larger one, it's probably going to be too firm. It's going to be considered chewy possibly when it's cooked that style. That's the sort of fish that suits like a Thai curry, something where you need a fish that's going to be firmer so that when it goes through the cooking process, it doesn't fall apart to nothing. So, you know, sometimes you've got to pick the fish for the dish depending on what you're going to do. And also the size of the fillet is important as well. You know, if it's a large fish, it's probably going to be firmer than a smaller, more juvenile fish.
I've got 2 points I'd like to add to that. I think when people say which fish is best, they're often asking one of two questions. What they're really saying, I believe, is how do I know which fish to purchase? Because I think sometimes when people go into, not necessarily a fishmonger because you've got service there, and anywhere where you're buying fish, if you've got someone who can speak with you, who can inform you, who educates you, you're on the right path. But sometimes you might be in a busy supermarket or a busy market, and you know there are just so many fish, so many things to look at for. Principally, if you buy a fish which, if the eyes look bright and they're full and you're walking around the environment and you're smelling a really nice, clean, ocean fresh scent, then you know that you're in a really good place to be buying fish. if you walk in and if you smell that fishy smell, if you pick up a fillet and you can smell that fishy smell, it doesn't matter what you do to the fish when you get home. You can drown it in curry. It's still going to taste and have a fishy smell, because people say to me, oh, I don't like fish that tastes fishy. Look, very occasionally, just about every, you know, some fish do, though. You might get a little bit on the bloodline or something like that. But if the fish has been looked after properly, it's going to taste good. And that goes back to what Tom said. Choose the fish for your dish. The other thing about which fish is best, and this is something that I come across all the time, and we are supposed to have and we are supposed to use standard fish names in Australia in the retail, in the marketing of fish. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't use them. A lot of people don't know them. So people come into my shop and they say, oh, but I don't like snapper. I had snapper at a restaurant in Sydney or Tasmania. They could be talking about a completely different fish. And when I say, well, our snapper is, you know, Goldband snapper and Rosy snapper, and it's from this family and this genus, and this is what it looks like. Hey, try some. If you don't like it, money back. And in, they come back and, oh, that was the best fish I've ever eaten. Or, you know, they say, oh, I want a blackie or something, and then you find out they're talking about saddletail snapper, you know. And I think they are the things where I think Australians are just getting ready to start buying and cooking seafood and fish at home. And I think to facilitate that, we need to help the consumer understand by making it easy for them. And one way to do that is, let's just call each fish by its own name, not have four names for one fish.
Yeah, brilliant. So the lesson here is, if you want to know what fish is good for a particular dish you're cooking, just ask the question, hey?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Look, guys, that's been amazing. So this is our inaugural Queensland Catch podcast, and I'm hoping to do more of these. And I will be talking to you again down the track, and I'm going to look for something other than a fish recipe, but we'll talk about that when the time comes. So before I go, shameless business plug, so go for it, guys.
Oh, me. Okay, look, Tomcat Lionfish, we are a unique family business. We're in the far north Queensland area, Cassowary Coast. Our ethos is sustainably line fishing for the future. We live by our ethos, and from everything we do, how we catch our fish, how we dispatch our fish, how we process our fish. And currently we're working very, very busily night and day on developing a unique method of transportation for fish and seafood. It is going to change the way that fish and seafood are transported worldwide. So while you're keeping your eyes on Tomcat Lionfish, look out also for Tomcat Global Solutions and the Tomcat Cool Pack, because hopefully one will be coming your way very soon.
Oh, there you go. See, now I'm going to have to talk to you on another podcast about that. So that's brilliant. Look, Kath and Tom, I appreciate your time. Now I'm going to say thank you to the audience for listening in, and there'll be more of these podcasts in the future. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and thanks to Kath and Tom.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers, guys.